Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks that they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else, for each one should carry their own load. I'll do verse 6:2. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. Today, we're talking about pastoral care. And if you were here this morning and you've already heard this sermon and you've come again, can I say I exceedingly love you for your faithfulness. extra brownie points to those who've come twice. Well done. So we're thinking about pastoral care. Can we have the first slide, Mr. Gordon? Nearly called you George then. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you. Fantastic. We're thinking about how we do pastoral care in our church, how we love, care, support, and shepherd one another. We've just heard from Galatians. As I shared this morning, there's so much in the New Testament about how the church is called to love one another and about how we should be together as a people of God. All it seemed I was reading in, as I was preparing this week, seemed to have it's on. Can you flick on to the next one for me? These two words. one another. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Ephesians, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Hebrews, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Do you know that got the biggest laugh this morning as well? It wasn't particularly aimed at anybody, but clearly there's a sense of conviction about the hospitality and the grumbling. Okay. So you get the drift. There was so many more that we could have talked about and used as kind of jumping off points. Because the New Testament church, there's so much about how we are to live together. How love is lived out as a church, because that is in essence what pastoral care is about, is how, what the measure of our love for one another looks like, how we care for each other. Not in just in times of crises, but yes, in times of great difficulty and sadness, but also in the everyday things, in the highs and the lows. So I settled on the Galatians reading because I love the metaphor of carrying one another's burdens. I just think that's such a strong and powerful image of carrying something for someone else. And I love the idea of this small child offering to carry the Bible and to walk alongside someone so that they can find their place. And read God's word. That's pastoral care too. I told a story this morning, I'll tell it again. about a metaphor for carrying one another's burdens. When I was a teenager, in Yorkshire Synod of the United Reformed Church, it was known as Province then, I was involved in Synod youth work. And we did a 50-mile sponsored walk around part of the coast, Whitby and Robin Hood's Bay in Yorkshire, all my favourite places. Ending every night in a different church where we would try and encourage them and we would sleep on their floor. Not in the will of God for my life to sleep on a church hall floor now, but there we go. And the reason I remember it was because 3/4 of the way round, on day number 2 of 7, I developed the world's biggest blister. It was so big that it mystified even the doctor on the team, who had never seen such a big blister. It was enormous. And as I shared this morning, I'm really good at growing different bits of my body. I can do gallstones. I can do wisdom teeth. I've grown a new wisdom tooth in the past month at the age of 45. Thank you, Jesus. So much wisdom is needed. I pray for wisdom. I didn't mean a tooth, Lord. And I clearly can grow blisters too. I'm aiming for another limb next, because that would be helpful, extra hand. It was a huge blister, and it really hurt. I know it's only you're all going, woman up, it's only a blister. When you're walking 50 miles, a blister really hurts. And I remember this story because the only way I got round was through everybody else's encouragement, through their teamwork, through them carrying my rucksack, through them helping me across stiles, through their literally championing me on to get to the church hall to sleep that night. And I don't know if God brought that to mind, but that's actually a metaphor for how we are to be with one another. To champion each other on, to walk beside each other, to carry, to offer to carry one another's burdens. That was the image in our reading in Galatians, but it doesn't start off with the image of carrying one another's burdens. It starts with the image of those who walk closely in the Spirit will tell the truth to one another, because that's what Christian friends do. They're not just there for carrying burdens, they're also there for truth-telling in love, for forgiving, for restoring one another. Because that's what love looks like. And I think that's pastoral care too. Let me give you an illustration to illustrate what I mean. Now, as we all know, I'm glad they've gone to Ignite, because now I can talk about my daughter. She hates it, but there you go. As you all know, I am a mum to Rebecca, who is usually quite well behaved, even though she's now a teenager. Now, if I caught Rebecca doing something really naughty, you would expect me as her mum to say, no, stop that, to point that out to her, especially if it's something that she's doing repeatedly. And all of us as parents may think of times when we've done that with children. Perhaps not to swoop in and remove her from that situation, because part of parenting is helping people work out the answers themselves, but to hold up a mirror to her life and say, look, you don't want to do this. This is hurting you. It's hurting others. It's hurting me. Stop. But that's not just my job. That's also her dad's job. You'd expect that as parents. But also, that's the job of everybody who loves my daughter. That's your job as well. And I would expect that if Jane or Dan or any of Heather or any of the Breakout or Fuse leaders noticed this in Rebecca's life, that they would speak truth into her life. Because that's what we do when we love one another. We don't allow people to walk blindly into sin. That's what carrying one another's burdens looks like, Paul says to the Galatians. Now, I wonder how good are we at doing that? Oh, well, we don't like to do that because that's a bit tricky. And there have been times that I need people in my life to do that for me, to point out the truth that I've perhaps been ignoring. And there are people here in this congregation who do that for me, Dan and Kath, regularly. Louise? Okay, I need to hear. Jane does that. Lynn and George have done that for me, who've rightly challenged me on something that I needed to think about and I needed to hear. That's what love looks like. Would you class that as pastoral care? I would. Now, I know that some of you are thinking, I would not ever do that to somebody. I wouldn't. Who am I to point out where somebody else is stumbling? Have you seen my life? Well, some of you will be thinking, well, that's not our job as Christians to do. That's your job as the elder or the minister to do. And some church discipline, yes, has to be done by the elders and the minister. But walking beside one another and burden-bearing and truth-telling is a whole church responsibility if we claim to love one another. You're straight ahead of me, I'm going to pick on you. If I saw Jane doing something which is going to hurt her, I cannot not say. I can do it gently, but I can't. I can do it gently, but I can't not say. Would you agree? That's pastoral care, one element of pastoral care. We've been thinking about how we do pastoral care in this congregation. The elders and I commissioned, kind of, Kath, to undertake a review of how we do pastoral care. And Kath has worked a work of grace and genius, as she always does, in producing, helping us think through some of the bigger issues that we have with pastoral care. And we've discovered that as we talk to one another, that we have within this congregation very different expectations when we think about pastoral care. When we say pastoral care, Simon might think one thing, Jane might think another, Jess might say something else. We've got very different opinions as to what that looks like, as to what the elders' role in pastoral care looks like, as to what my role in pastoral care looks like, and as to what our role in pastoral care looks like. And because people have got very different expectations, there's an element of when their expectations are not met, there's disappointment and frustration. So we're thinking about how we do pastoral care so we can start from the same place. We can lay down what doesn't work or what isn't obtainable or realistic, and we can begin again. Let me give you an example. My sending church in Leeds, the minister had been there forever, Robert. I mean forever, he baptized me as a baby, he married me as a nearly 30-year-old. So he had been there forever. He had been in ministry since Adam were a lad, and he was trained in the time when ministers were told that you would spend your morning at your desk and you would spend the afternoon in your parish in the houses of your parishioners, drinking tea and sorting out their souls. Now, let's be realistic. I have not got enough afternoons in my week, or my bladder is not big enough to drink that much tea. We can't do pastoral care like that anymore in a church as large and as busy as we are. But there are some who still feel that that's what the minister should be doing. That unless they've had a visit from the minister, then they've not had a visit from the church. They may have had 20 Christian friends call round, but it's still not been from the church. You can see where it gets a little tricky. We have to carry one another's burdens all together. Not just because that gets the job done, but because that's our calling as Christians. If we start working. Next one, please, Gordon. Next one. There we go. Jesus said in John's Gospel, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So the big question we're asking ourselves is, what does our love look like as a congregation, as a people, as individuals? What does our love look like? A new commandment, Jesus said. Well, it's based on Leviticus 19:18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your neighbor, among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. We know that verse. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says he's got a new commandment, but he racks up the expectation, the commitment level, and he says, love one another, not just your neighbor as yourself, but love like me. That's way more. Love like me, he says. Live in a way that your love is expressed to others. A love that's modeled by the very nature of God. God the Father loves the Son. The Father God so obviously reveling in his love for the Son. The Son Jesus delights in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit glorifies in love for the Father. God is love. And the love we've received in Jesus is our motivation to love others. So how can we practically show love for one another? There's lots of ways that we do that already. I see all the time acts of generosity, of sacrificial love, of selflessness among you. So don't hear when we say, oh, we're talking about how we love one another. I'm not saying that we don't, but I am saying that we can all work to do better, to fulfill our calling in Christ. Kath has produced this fantastic leaflet that details much more clearly than I am tonight about what our pastoral care looks like from here on in. And there's a named copy for everybody who wasn't here this morning. Each family that's involved will have a named leaflet. I think Linda is the leaflet giver extraordinaire. And so what I'd like you to do is to take it away with you tonight, to spend some time thinking about it, read it, and to let yourself be challenged by it, to ask yourself, well, where do I love in this congregation? Where can I serve by loving one another? Where am I connected? Where do I need to be connected? So in the inside of the leaflet, we detail all the places that we can have and find pastoral support, both formally and informally in the life of our church. I'll just go through them tonight. First is fellowship groups. I think fellowship groups are a foundation in our church. I think they're a great place to get to know a small group of people at a deeper level. And I think I'd like to challenge you, if you're not in a fellowship group or a small group, speak to Kath, because I think they're a fabulous place where you can learn and grow with other disciples. We hope that each of our fellowship groups is a safe place to be yourself, to be challenged, to be shaped, to let others carry your burdens, and vice versa. Good pastoral care happens in small groups. If you're not in a small group, get yourself in a small group. Prayer support. There's loads of ways in which we pray for one another here in the life of the church. There's the prayer book at the back. There's our prayer ministry team. I know lots of you meet together with people during the week and pray with one another. There's your fellowship groups. You can pray with your elder. And there's the confidential prayer chain of about 10 or so people who confidently pray through urgent prayer requests. That's pastoral care. Different shaped pastoral care, but still pastoral care. Friendships. Our calling is to love one another and to be friends with one another. And that you can model it in all sorts of different ways. In hospitality, in inviting folk around for coffee, in all sorts of different ways. Maybe there's somebody that God's been putting on your heart that you need to reconnect with. That's pastoral care. We try and provide friendly places, coffee, cake, and communion, the bookshop, men's drinks. I've never been invited to men's drinks. I might just gate crash one night. Go, here I am! Caspian? Okay, right. I'm taking this as a personal challenge. Sorry? I delegate it. No, I think I might not, actually. I like breakfast. There are places where they're just informal places where you can get to know folk. Friendly places. And that's also pastoral care. And we have more formalised ways of doing pastoral care too, which we know about already. In the United Reformed Church, the pastoral care system is usually done through the elders having a pastoral group. And each elder does that slightly differently. Each elder has got different giftings in this area. We've got a lovely bunch of elders. They're not all the same. They're not all cookie-cutter, identical elders. We've got some who work during the day. We've got some who are retired. We've got some who are great at pastoral visiting. Some who really, that's not where their skill set is, and that's okay. And we've got some who are great at strategy. We've got some who are great at prayer. That's what we want for an eldership. But the elders promise three things in terms of pastoral care. Their role is to pray for you, for those in their group. To be there for you if you let them know that you need them. We don't approve of mind reading, generally, in the Christian church. So if you haven't told anybody that you're struggling, then you can't be cross if nobody offers to help. So they will help you if you let them know you need it. But they may not be the best placed person to do that. They may find someone else or support by the wider church, whatever is appropriate. My role is to oversee all the pastoral care in the life of the church, to make sure it happens, to support and train the elders and the pastoral visitors and the assistants, and make sure that all offer the ministry of pastoral care. We have communion in church a couple of times a month, and if people wish it, if people can't get to church, at home. And if you need to have someone bring communion to you at home, if you've not, that's the point of saying this to you, you're all here. If you know of someone who needs home communion, let us know. And we'll endeavour to do that. We'll have a growing team of pastoral assistants. We're hopefully getting to the place where each elder will have their own pastoral assistant who will assist the elders in caring for you, in pastorally caring for you, be it visiting or ringing. We've got Reach Counselling. They do a great job at a more formalised professional level in offering counselling support. Details about them are at the back and dotted around the church. We've got a number of people who volunteer in the life of this church. About 80 or so people who do different jobs. Isn't that amazing? 86. 86, says the Oracle. 86. There you go. So it's important that how we care for one another as we do our jobs. So, you know, there's no job that you can't stand down from. We don't want to be that sort of church where people feel burdened. I have been on the coffee rota for 76 years, and now my arthritis means I can't lift a kettle, but I feel that I can't tell anybody. We don't want to be 76 years making coffee. We don't want to be that church where we don't notice that sort of thing. Do you know what I mean? Where we see when people are struggling, or, you know, people need walking alongside. So we're introducing just a very simple volunteer support structure that takes over from the old Link Elder system, and we're doing that this year. So that's all detailed in the middle of our leaflet. Do you have a read of that? And that's a new normal. That's how we're going to do things from now on in. That's what pastoral care will look like. Kath is going to speak more on this in a fortnight's time about how we do that, how we care for one another. And so it'd be great if you could be here to find out more about what she says. Now, none of this is actually rocket science. It's actually not that complicated. It's a one-point sermon. Our job, corporate job, is to love one another. 4 years at theological college, and that's what you get. 4 years to tell you that one simple truth. You've got to love one another. Go on then, go off and do it. Thank you.
Love that boy. Thank you.
You have a real gift of encouragement. Do you know that? No, he really has. Lots of us are nodding. There's some very well-placed and well-timed words of encouragement that have come from you that you didn't know were just the right moment. I think that might be a spiritual gift. Anyway, moving on. Now I've embarrassed Daniel. We're called to love one another. We're called, and that's the challenge, is that how do we do that? Because everybody receives love at a different way. As we were worshipping earlier on, I jotted a few things down that came to me, that all this about loving one another is great, but it's actually a two-way process for us. It's not just our job to love, it's also our calling to allow ourselves to be loved. And some of us find that harder than giving the actual loving. I'm rubbish at being looked after. In my last church, there was a time when I had viral meningitis, which came as a bit of a surprise. Because I'd done a whole week of holiday club with a headache, not realizing I had meningitis. And by the Sunday afternoon, when I was trying to write a funeral for Monday morning and I could no longer see, I thought, oh, perhaps I should actually do something about this. Wendy Farris just shaking her head at me, going, oh. And when I came home from church, I couldn't allow myself to be looked after. I remember one of the elders saying, I've come to do your laundry. And I went, I don't need anyone to do my laundry, thank you. So she went round the house picking up bits of clothes that looked like they needed washing. It's like, go away, go away. So the other flip side of this is actually we need to allow ourselves to be loved. The openness, challenge to openness and vulnerability. Of letting ourselves be loved and known and named. So that might mean that when we're struggling, having the courage to say that. that I need help. Because otherwise folk might not know. And that's actually sometimes a bigger challenge to some of us who like to keep things all, you know, hidden away. That actually that's a challenge. That we need to step out into the light and allow ourselves to be loved. Because that's the cost of living in community. When we became church members, we promised to covenant to one another. We promised one another that we would be family together. Of living in Christian community is a two-way thing of giving and receiving. And that's a challenge to me. Our calling is to be the kind of church that is known by our love for one another. What a witness it would be if people knew that we were the church that loved. We're known to be the church that gives out mince pies and has a toddler group and gives out hot cross buns. I would love, next time I'm wearing my dog collar and I'm stopped in West Kirby, for someone to say, oh yeah, that church loves people. Because then I can die happy. I'm not planning on it, but... A new commandment I give you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another, says Jesus. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. So my challenge tonight is, how are you going to do that? How are you going to do that? How are you going to love one another? What are you going to do differently this week that shows your love for one another?